The End Podcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is The Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
What you don't hear on the show, welcome to the show, by the way, is the stuff that goes on before the show or after the show. The mics are still hot, but we're not playing it for you. So we've now discovered that the entire world hates my chewing noise, or just chewing noises in general. I just happen to be doing one. I scarfed down an end piece of bread with some PB&J going there, and Wayne mentioned if I could get closer to the microphone, that would be great, you know, because that's nothing a sound guy loves more than hearing somebody chew. What's the worst sound, though? Like, in general, we can come up with pretty unique sounds, but the worst one in general, Wayne, for sound, is it chewing? Is it the breathing? Is it sniffing? Is it clearing your throat?
It's usually, like, the clearing
your
throat.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, a yeah. Or
yeah.
Like that.
Stop. Right? Yeah. Oh my god!
Exactly that.
Poor Wayne, and like when we
and
record,
our listeners,
when right, we record yeah. the audiobooks, my stomach like knows when we're recording, and it just goes into overdrive. Like yeah. we had to take breaks last time for it to stop making noise.
Yeah, you do have a loud.
Doing
loud,
it right so. Now. Yeah. Yeah, I do have a really loud stomach, so my apologies.
But I do love it, so. That's fine. So I have to burp, but I'm not going to right now. I'll save it for some of the key point in the episode. You don't see it coming.
You're not burping during the episode. Don't.
Well, we'll just see about that.
What
on the show
talk
today,
about?
We're talking about scooting.
Scooting.
Scooting talking. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of Nicole's dieting, but nothing about dieting, actually. Brand changes, brand changing names. Oh, we got so many places changing things up. Iconic brands changing names. And what do we think about that? And even a bra story. Man, this is just chock full of goodness.
It's a naming story. It's a naming episode.
Speaking of a naming episode, this episode is brought to you by Emma. Email marketing that works for you. Emma went and they changed
Emma
their logo.
Emma is a name?
Yeah, Emma's a name, but Emma's no longer using the Emma face in their logo.
No, they changed it. Have we seen the new one yet?
Yeah, just the letters. This cool. is Emma.
That's cool.
Nice and clean, simple design, good to go. So, I want to talk to you about me scooting.
Okay.
So, I was in Denver and also San Diego, and I started seeing these scooters around, electric scooters. We have scooters here, the Razor scooters, and kids will leg-powered and zip around, but you can get them electric, so you just press a button and it does the scooting for you. Pretty cool, awesome, I love it. Back in my day, it was a milk crate on top of a skateboard, and you went away, but I digress. And so what happens here now, the newest kind of on-demand economy for it is these electric scooters. There's companies like Bird. There is Lime. Razor themselves have it. And Lyft has gotten into the game. And it's a matter of time before Uber buys one of those companies. So what happens is they go have a city, a downtown, a large city, and they'll dump 100 scooters into the city. And what you do is you take your phone with the app, you walk up to a scooter sitting there on a city sidewalk, you scan the QR code on the scooter itself, and for $1 to unlock it, plus about 15 cents a minute usually, it's your scooter to ride. And off you go to wherever you're going in the downtown core usually, and then when you're done, you just drop it. And off you go until the next scooter user comes by. Now, there's a whole gig economy part of this where then at night, these companies pay independent people to go pick up scooters and charge them overnight and drop them back to designated spots. So the problem this has caused is a few things. One, they don't ask permission of the city to do this. They just dump 100 scooters or so into a city and said, go forth and scoot. And the city's like, could you hang on? Can you not do that? Because there's laws here and bylaws, some cities. So I'm in San Diego and like, you can't use bike lanes, only sidewalks. Denver's like, you can't use sidewalks, only bike lanes. Y'all have to wear a helmet. These places are not providing helmets for anybody. And the whole point is like, grab them, go, drop them, dump them. To the point where you have to, in San Diego, you have to take a picture of where you parked the scooter to show you parked it properly. And if you don't, then you risk your chance of keeping the scooter. Denver comes out, has a giant area. You can't scoot here, so it's a red area. So on the map you pull up, it's like pulling up a Lyft map or even Google Maps. It'll show you just a redded out area, if that's a word, where you can't ride the scooter. And if you do, the app will say, if you don't, you're no longer going to be able to use it. And when the scooter's off, it locks. So interesting type of thing. So I did it. I used it in San Diego. I went up and down the kind of the waterfront in Denver. I took it home from the Denver Broncos game. Not home to here, but home to the hotel from the Denver Broncos game. I scooted through some areas I should not be scooting through, by the way, because that's where the map told me to go. But I zipped along. They're capped at 15 miles an hour. And I got, and I'm going to be honest with you, I could have probably died twice on this thing because I'm ripping around this whole place. It was awesome. I was loving it. And I took it, like, it took me like 25 minutes to get back from the Denver Broncos game, and it cost me $6.
So we used them in Paris this summer.
That's the first time I've heard of it, was when you guys used them.
Yeah, that was nice of you to give me credit in the story when you were talking about them. So I had three
audio guy and now co-host.
So I had three of the kids with me, and we were in Paris, not Paris, Ontario, like Paris, France. And we saw tons of people on scooters, and we saw the Lime ones. I think it was one of the companies was fairly well, like there was a lot of them. You could see them. But the issue that we had is that with the app right now, you can only rent one. So it's like per phone. And I had three kids with me, so, and not baby kids, like teenagers. So I couldn't rent four scooters on one account. You know what I mean? Yes. And so because all the kids didn't have their own phones, we couldn't get them on all separate accounts. Plus they're not old enough to rent them. So we ended up going to like a scooter rental place, like a proper like store where they rent scooters. And then we took them from there and we returned them. And it was kind of amazing because it was the first time like I'd seen them, and there were so many, like it just seemed like overnight, to my eyes anyway, something that I didn't know existed was all of a sudden just absolutely everywhere. And it was kind of cool to see how quickly. And then we had so much fun riding them. So I totally get it. Because again, it was a touristy kind of a place, right? We're in Paris. And they were everywhere, especially with kids, I think, because you are often dragging them. Like anyone who's listening who travels with their kids a lot, which we do, getting kids to walk a lot sometimes, I mean, getting anyone to walk a lot sometimes is a drag, but getting kids to walk, especially between places where, like in Paris, for example, like we went to the Louvre and we did a lot of tourist things because they had never been there before. So, you know, we're walking from the hotel for the Airbnb to the Louvre to then walk around inside the Louvre to then walk around, you know, so the scooters were this great way that was, and they thought it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And then the two older boys ended up going off on their own on the scooters. And because one of them wasn't feeling well, and it was, but even on the scooter, if she wasn't feeling well, it was still fun.
Right.
So it made it what could have been the kind of day where I was dragging them around into a fun day. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. And I would have used the app if I could have gotten more than one scooter. So I don't know if that's something they're going to add eventually. I understand why, especially with, I didn't realize what you said, like where it can lock out the scooter. Right. These ones, and actually the Lime ones I saw in Paris, they were spots you parked them. Like you didn't just leave them on the side of the road. So maybe that makes a difference too.
Yeah. So some places are putting them in to saying scooter parking areas. So what happened in Denver was they all just dumped, like three companies dumped scooters all over the city. The city council went nuts about it. Of course, everybody's going nuts because they're just strewn everywhere. They're blocking people. They're blocking bike paths. And people are humans are in general just deplorable.
But there's a lot of people walking.
Like, right. So the problem is, can you go on the sidewalk? You're weaving in and out of people. People are going to get hit with these things. Bike lanes, you know, they don't go as fast as some of the bikes. So there's a lot of things that are going on. So what Denver did was they took them all away. They confiscated them. And then went to the companies and said, you want to do this right or not?
Yeah.
And then the companies negotiated with them. And they had a lot of riders before that too. So it's like, well, we'll just put the pressure on the city. They're like, nah, they took them all. And they said, okay, so here's the rules. This area, so Denver's got one of the coolest things about downtown Denver. It's a great city. It has a whole kind of shut down to cars. So it's the streets open to walking up and down. And it's just a kind of like a street cable car that goes up and down it as well. You can't ride them in there. So it's blocked out in red. And plus the university campus can't ride them on the university campus. So that's redded out as well. So you can't do that. Plus it says you park them at certain near bus stops. There's a certain designated spots that said you should be. Now, nobody was doing that, but that's what the city, I read an article about it, and that's what the city had said you do. Now, so the challenge for me was, so going to the Broncos game, I'm like, I'll just grab one of these scooters, right? I was right at that spot where it's red, so it was just, I can just, on the other side of the sidewalk, I can grab one and go the opposite direction. And I went to one. As I walked up to one, somebody else jumped on it.
Yeah. I
went to five spots. I must have walked a total of 15 blocks just to not walk to the game. And so what I would love to see these companies do is allows you to reserve one of the bikes as you're walking to it. And
or,
it gives
have, you a, or just have it on the app what the availability is.
Right. Well, it's like because they're all open until you grab one. They're all open. And as far as I walked and I could see a block away, somebody's getting on it. I'm like, no. So I think if you can do a 5-minute window saying, I'd like to hold this scooter for 5 minutes, it puts it into your account, and then to go get it, that would be
that makes sense.
Awesome. And then when I was leaving, the one was just sitting in the giant parking lot, and you had to use your GPS to go find it. It was just sitting there, just lying to the side, and I picked it up, and zoom, and I zipped off again. So it kind of messes with your brain a bit because it's not natural to be able to do something like that. But this has led to another issue. An issue of then people just stealing the scooters and people, well, they're locked. Well, one of the issues with the scooters is the battery, the power is what locks it.
So they change the battery.
They wait for the battery to drain.
Oh,
and then they just turn into regular scooters.
Yeah.
So that's one of the issues places are facing. They also have, there's a great article, I believe it was in the New Yorker, it might have been the New York Times, I apologize, about the how competitive the charging industry is. Because the lower the charge goes on the scooter, the more the bounty is to go pick the scooter up. So instead of $5 for the scooter, that's a $9 scooter to go charge it.
Too.
And then if they've been missing in action, that they're MIA for more than 2 days, then there's like a $20 bounty to go find it. So this is what leads us to this story.
Like bounty hunters, yeah. Looking for scooters?
Yeah. It's like Dog the Bounty Scooter Hunter running around, so except less racist. So, if you go, this site is called freep.com, F-R-E-E-P.com. It says, as bird scooters take off in Detroit, one guy wants to make them free. It says, people try out the new electric bird scooters Monday in downtown Detroit. The scooters are part of a pilot sharing program that started in the city in July. An entrepreneurial Detroiter aims to raise as much as $20,000 this week to give away at least 100 scooters and helmets to youngsters who don't have them. Quote, this whole bird scooter charging experiment just came full circle for me. Andy Rossi, 31, posted to Facebook late Saturday. It's a long read, so strap in. He said in a telephone interview Monday, he noticed that the trendy electric devices designed for hipster adults to rent and zoom around downtown, I think that's a shot at me, and Midtown are finding their way into lower income neighborhoods where kids are playing with them. Quote, these kids don't know what these things are. They're just showing up in their neighborhoods. Said Diderossi, the founder and CEO of Detroit Bus Co. But scooters are typically in the provenance of kids, not millennials or commuter yuppie types. So when the kids get them, off they go. A Detroit native and entrepreneur for more than a decade, he acknowledges that his latest project will generate goodwill for his business, but it was the story of what inspired him to put the effort together that seems to be touching people the most. In his Facebook post, he said he was looking for some of the high bounty scooters that need charging, and the ones that have been lost for a while kept turning up in housing complexes throughout Detroit. He stopped at a large housing complex off of Forest in Midtown and noticed this huge group of kids all riding dead bird and lime scooters. The scooters, he explained, are designed to lock up when not in use. But as the batteries wear down, the wheels tend to spin freely and the scooters can be used like an old-fashioned push scooter that you'd maneuver by kicking your foot. A young kid, quote, a young kid is riding a bird, probably 9 or 10 years old, rode up to me and asked what I was doing. I told him I was charging the scooters so I could put them back out on the street, and he said, you can have this one, and hopped off it. Diderossi told the kid he could keep the scooter if he wanted, but the youngster responded that it was okay and that I should charge it. This little dude grabbed the scooter, boosted it up into the back of my tall pickup truck on his own. Added, he thanked the boy and gave him a high five. He looked at me with a slightly worried look like I was taking his pet hamster to the hamster hospital. Diderossi said that as he left, about a dozen kids were watching. It must really suck to be a Detroit kid in the summertime and see these cool-looking scooters with lights sitting out on the street corner, but you're technically not allowed to touch them unless you have a credit card and a valid driver's license. Then he added, another kid, again 9 or 10, walked up to my truck when I was stopped and knocked on my window. He also asked me what I was doing, and I told him. He told me his friend has a few of them, and I can have them if I want. Diderossi politely passed on picking up the scooter and told the kid he should go play. The scooter share devices known as birds and lines began appearing this summer in Detroit and other cities nationwide as hip and inexpensive ways for at least anyone 18 years old with a driver's license and credit card to zip around town. They are part of Segway, the gyroscopic devices that were launched nearly 20 years ago that revolutionized urban transportation. So far, two companies, Santa Monica, California-based Bird Rides, and San Mateo, California-based Lime, are operating dozens of scooters in Detroit, with an increasing number of them hitting the streets each week. Rides start at $1, then 15 cents a minute. Riders can find the electric scooters, which have GPS tracking, can reach speeds of 50 miles an hour with the phone app. When the riders arrive at their destination, they leave the scooter there. The scooters are on the streets from about 5 a.m. till 8 p.m. Detroit officials said the scooters aren't a city program, and the marketplace, whoever's willing to pay to ride them, dictates where the scooters go. At night, contract workers, like Diderossi, hunt for scooters, pick them up, and recharge their batteries. The bounties go from $5 to $20. What I'm interested in, Diderossi said, is how a Silicon Valley startup comes into a city like Detroit, a rust belt, poor commuting and lacking in transit, and markets to people of means who have credit cards and can take a fun ride and leave out all the kids in the neighborhood. Diderossi dubbed his project Play Freebird, great name, and is setting up websites for donations. After raising money and giving away 100 scooters, he hopes to convince the scooter share startups to offer its service and help give away scooters to kids, and even set up programs that will help them cash in on the scooter bounties. So he posted it. It went out. You can go to Play Freebird and Google it and look it up, and he's doing it. I talked to him, and I said, what can we do to help? We bought scooters. So they set up an Amazon wish list for scooters. So we bought them 4 scooters, 2 electric, 2 regular push ones. They said they want the non-electric for the younger kids, and then older and teens in those neighborhoods rather have the electric ones. So our show has sent them 4. You can send them as well. And also they took cash donations, and now they're working with Razor to get a commercial discount on them to buy even more. And he says what we need help with right now is really assembling them, because they've got so many now. Every day he gets just truckloads of scooters that have been bought new, so he can go give them out.
That's awesome.
To kids in the neighborhoods. So well done, Matthew. Well done. I'm really impressed with the whole story, Andy. And great job. And it's true, right? The problem is you do have there's a problem, right? You need a driver's license and a credit card. And like you notice, only one person can grab them. So,
and it is particularly like, because it's a scooter, which is like a kid's toy. It's right. It's sort of particularly hard for the kids, I think. So it's wonderful right. that he's doing that.
I agree. Great stuff.
So this past week, I spent probably, well, actually the weekend, I probably spent too much time. I think it took me about a day. I watched the entire series, Timothy Caldwell's A User's Guide to Cheating Death. Mm-hmm. And it's on Netflix, and he's like, we were already fans of his, but so the first of all, it's fantastic.
Timothy Caulfield.
Caulfield.
Yeah.
Did I say Caldwell?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Timothy.
That's okay.
So Timothy Caulfield. So we were already fans of his, and he does a lot of like debunking, like people who are selling, you know, crystals that heal your whatever, and he debunks a lot of health myths. And the series is all about that. Like, it's different ways people try to cheat death. Either there's surgical ways, diet ways, exercise ways, you know, all these like spa treatments and things. And it was fascinating. And I watched the entire thing basically in like 3 sittings. And I really enjoyed it. So first of all, you guys should watch it. It's on Netflix and it's great. And one of the main sort of themes that came out of watching the series was this sort of shift in our perception, or hopefully our shift in our perception, that losing weight automatically means being healthier. Like mm-hmm. this idea that you should exercise, that exercise is, you know, as he was going through all these myths, exercise is one of the ways that we can keep ourselves healthier longer, thereby, you know, cheating death in the way that he plays with it. But that losing weight isn't a reason to exercise. That even if you go into an exercise program and you lose no weight, that doctors can show you that you are gaining health benefits, like, you know, lower diabetes problems and cholesterol and all these kinds of things, even if you don't lose weight. So this article kind of reminded me of some of that stuff. It's from Vox.com, and it's saying, as dieting becomes more taboo, Weight Watchers is changing its name. So Weight Watchers will now be known as WW. The 55-year-old company just announced that it's rebranding to focus more on overall health. Its new tagline is Wellness That Works, which is 2 W's, which is kind of cool. It's a change the company has been building up to since 2015. Oprah Winfrey came on as an investor when Weight Watchers was in decline and announced that she lost a lot of weight on the program while also still eating bread every single day. The company's fortunes have improved since then, but it is shooting for $2 billion in revenue, according to Fortune, a goal that has been in its sights for almost a decade, but has not yet come to fruition. So it's sort of interesting, and I like this change, and it's one of the things I really liked about Timothy Caulfield's documentary series was this idea of looking at health in a different way.
Right.
Because, you know, in the times that when we were growing up and in the times coming up to this, losing weight was kind of always seen as the goal, right? Like you're always trying to lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. But you can actually get all of these health benefits without losing any weight. And isn't health really what we're all trying to achieve? And taking it out of something that's not in our control, like the number on the scale when we stand on it, and instead looking at things that are within our control, like how we feel and how our body's moving and how, you know, we're able to do more and more things, lift heavier things and keep up with our kids and all of these kinds of things. And so I like that Weight Watchers is doing this. And I also, I know there's a lot of things, I haven't been a member of Weight Watchers, but I know from other people that have, that there's a lot of great community building that happens at Weight Watchers. And, you know, particularly that what their name was, Weight Watchers, that they're, you know, getting away from that and keeping the good things that they do, which is a lot of community building and a lot of, you know, having people to talk to about different issues you're going through, someone to be help people to hold you accountable for what your decisions are, and to provide like healthier options for people who are trying to improve their health. And so I really, really like that. And I'm not usually a rebranding person. Like I'm usually kind of, think it's when we talk about this a lot that in terms of spending money on it, sometimes it can be silly, but in this particular, rebranding, I think it's really, really, really good. What do you think?
What's the most popular chicken place? Food-wise.
Oh, I'm supposed to say Kentucky Fried Chicken or KFC, but I don't know which one I'm supposed to say.
Right, it's KFC. Everybody says KFC now, right? Yeah. And when they rebranded, it was anarchy when they changed their name to KFC. It was just like, well, no, because they're providing more than chicken at this point. They wanted to expand their menu a bit. They're making it a different, same thing, but different meaning behind it. Now, Weight Watchers' problem is, what do we call it then? Are they calling it? We're going to call
it. Says WW. Like this isn't so read out loud. So
this
I'm
is
not
the difference.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I find people going to be calling it WW, because we're one letter away from a wrestling group, right? We're really close, or an animal foundation. Yeah. So we're getting. I never thought we'd say KFC exactly, but WW is not.
Or PFK.
Right. Yeah. It's just I don't know if we're going to call it that. But then again, I didn't know if we were going to go to KFC. So,
but I like that they're doing it.
I do
it.
Like I the mean, reason for the shift.
Yeah.
100%.
But maybe WW is a weird thing to
call
it. Right.
It's a weird thing to say WW. Because people don't call WWE WWE. They call it wrestling. You know what I mean? Like they, and some of us call it WWF still.
There's also something here that like is interesting too, that they're saying that it's not something that you join and then you quit.
Mm-hmm.
So when your goal is
better. Are you on Weight Watchers?
When your goal is better health, then there isn't like a number at the end of which you're no longer part of Weight Watchers.
Very smart.
So, I mean, that's sort
very
of smart.
Smart.
Because
very smart.
If you join Weight Watchers to lose 10 pounds and it's called Weight Watchers, then when you lose your 10 pounds, you're no longer in their in their funnel anymore.
But if it's wellness.
If it's wellness, so it says to keep people paying and using services for longer, new incentive programs called Wellness Wins are launching, awarding people products and experiences for meeting certain goals. So, and also, they've been trying to get more men to join. And I guess Weight Watchers, like,
very female
is very female driven, and associating with weight is a little more female driven because sometimes men aren't necessarily looking to have a smaller number on the scale. They're looking for, like, you know, a fitness look or something like that. So this sort of makes it more gender neutral, which I guess is good for business as well, since, you know, that's half the population. Yeah, so I like it, but I also think it's good for business. I think they're I think it's just not timely anymore to call it Weight Watchers. Like, we have such a body positive sort of... Well,
it's a very fixed thing, like exactly what they're saying, right? It's very fixed. Are you on Weight Watchers? Like, the question, like, you know...
There's an end goal.
And it's also a thing where it's like, oh, well, you need to be on Weight Watchers. No, this is if it's a health thing. So I'll be interested in see if ever the WW...
Sticks?
You know, the actual thing. I'm not sure that
they could have called it wellness something instead.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. They did not consult us. They are not a client.
Mm-hmm. Nor is anybody for consulting. Speaking of dropping words and names and changing, this has caused a ripple, especially in Boston.
See, I thought you were going to talk about Emma.
Yeah, Emma's causing a ripple in Boston. Hello. No, man. Oh, but always see our friends at Emma for all your email marketing needs, for everything with their award-winning team that's always ready to support you on your email marketing strategy, design, list migration, and more. It's email marketing that works for you.
Causing a stir.
Causing a stir in Boston. And on top of that, also causing a stir in Boston is Dunkin' Donuts. They are allegedly, supposedly,
DDs.
Potentially. Yeah, we got to watch these things, right? Got to go to this little DD and then hit up WW. Right? Dunkin' Donuts dropping donuts from its name. This is from CBS News. Donuts remain on the menu, but Dunkin' Donuts is shortening its name to Dunkin' to reflect its increasing emphasis on coffee and other drinks as well as sandwiches. Early this year, the company tested the new name at a store in Boston suburb of Quincy. Is that where Matt Damon's from?
I don't know.
Okay. This change will officially take place in January, where the Dunkin' name will start appearing solo on napkins, boxes, and signs at its U.S. stores. The name change will eventually be adopted by international stores. Canton, Massachusetts-based Dunkin' Brands has more than 12,500 restaurants globally. Holy cow. The 68-year-old chain says its new logo will still have the familiar rounded font and orange and pink color scheme that the company has used since 1973. Dunkin' says the name change is one of several things it's doing to stay relevant to younger customers, including adding dedicated mobile ordering lanes. The company is also testing a less is more strategy at about 1,000 of its 9,000 U.S. locations by pairing its donuts... It's donut selection. The streamlined stores will sell a minimum of what Dunkin' calls 18 core donuts, down from about 30 varieties. Dunkin' said in a statement that depending on how customers respond, it may pare down its selection nationwide. They said the company's sales and profits have grown steadily in recent years, and stock prices up more than 14% in 2018. While overall U.S. store traffic was down in the second quarter of this year, the company noted that but the revenue was up thanks to sales of higher margin iced coffee drinks and breakfast sandwiches.
All right, I have a serious question.
Yes, ma'am.
I understand how dropping the Weight Watchers tag from our last story makes you more relevant, mm-hmm. because I think people are being brought up in a way where it's not about weight loss necessarily, it's about wellness. But does the younger generation care if they get a sandwich at Dunkin' Donuts or at Dunkin's?
Well, I think it's part of that where they're taking the focus off of the donuts. Really, and that's where they're like Tim Hortons donuts, right? It used to be called Tim Hortons donuts on the sign as well, and they went away.
Really?
From in the States, it's called Tim Hortons Cafe and Bake Shop.
Yeah,
which is
I don't
just
know.
Odd.
Yeah,
they have some of those here now.
Yeah,
they're like cafe
something or other. So it's the way of the focus, right? Where they're realizing that in this more health conscious age, about the focus on the donut in the name could be. Drawing them away from it,
so.
Too. And they use example here, like KFC and DQ. Dairy Queen. Do you call it Dairy Queen? Do you call it DQ? I
call it Dairy Queen.
What do you call it?
I still call it Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Well, but we're bitter.
And old.
And so I said this to the real estate group I spoke to, the Century 21 in Miami. I said to them, I said, the older we get, the less willing we are to change. And so like a change like this, because we had mentioned in the last show, they had changed the logo. They did a rebrand. And I was saying, so was it the people who've been there longer, the longest, regret that, you know, resent the change even more. So we might call it it's like arenas changing name, right? In Toronto, the Rogers Centre is the Sky Dome to me. The Air Canada Centre just changed to Scotiabank Arena. The Molson Amphitheatre is now the Budweiser Stage.
My only thing is that, you know, as business owners, we work so hard for brand recognition, mm-hmm. right? Like we just work so hard so that people know our name. We try and pick something great. We work on everything. And then here you have established brands where everyone knows what that is and they change it. And I just wonder why sometimes and if it's going to have the effect that they want and if it's an excuse for doing other things that maybe, but maybe I'm not, but I don't know. You never know until it plays out, right?
Well, at the end of the day, and see, Dunkin' Donuts is different. So for Tim Hortons, so we're using Tim Hortons as kind of the Dunkin' Donuts of Canada. So we're using a frame of reference that we have in this room. But, you know, 20 years ago, are you going for lunch at Tim Hortons? And usually the answer was no.
But they
no.
didn't have lunch then.
Right, but when they started rolling it out, it was realizing that how do we make it more applicable? So yeah. Dunkin' Donuts is like, we don't want to, because the high margin items are the breakfast sandwiches for them. The high margin items are the iced coffee things for them. It's the, you know, it's the Starbucks side
of things.
I
just wonder, like, I'm curious about how it plays out, right? You have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, which is now why our show is called Shut It. That's what we're going to call it from now on. Brand change. But we've had that debate on the show about calling it the Unpodcast. About do we keep the name Unpodcast, the Un obviously part of our brand. But is the term podcasting alienating? Is it when I tell people from stage, listen to the Unpodcast, they're like, I don't do that podcast thing.
Yeah, so, and like I think that's changing too. Right.
There's a shift there as well.
So this story is from CBC, our Canadian Broadcast Corporation. Mm-hmm. And so this story was interesting to me. So it's about, I think it's pronounced Simons. So forgive me, people from Simons, if I'm not saying it right. But it said, Simons, sorry for campaign, selling bras named after famed Canadian women. Simons has apologized for creating and marketing a line of bras inspired by famous Canadian women and withdrawn its ads for the line. Quebec-based department store chain La Maison Simons has apologized for a recent ad campaign in which it used the name of former Supreme Court Chief Justice Beverly McLaughlin and other Canadian women to sell lingerie. Earlier this month, Simons marketing material touted a new line of bras touting strength and femininity, and the names of the different types were linked to the first names of historic Canadian women. Among the names were Elsie, the Clara, the Nellie, and the Beverly, while the last names were never used. The attached ad copy made it clear that the designs were inspired by aeronautical engineer Elsie McGill, trailblazing Laura Clara Brett Martin, suffragette and politician Nellie McClung, jurist Beverly McLaughlin, and others. So, and I guess they had to apologize and people were in an uproar. And I have a couple feelings about this. I'm like,
being our resident bra expert, not because you're a female, but because you actually created your own bra company.
I did. And I did name my bras after people that I knew. I didn't name them after famous people, but they had names. Because mm-hmm. I liked it and because it made it easy with stocking them and it made it easy to communicate with customers. And I felt like on the website and when talking to customers that it sounded nicer if I said like the Bella bra as opposed to number 6'5 style right. AB3, whatever. So the only thing that bothers me about this is that these are famous women for doing incredible things. And I don't totally understand why it's wrong to name a bra after them. Like I don't understand. And I know people got very angry and felt like, you know, there's kind of like provocative ad. It's a bra ad. It's not like pornographic. It's a woman wearing a bra and they're selling a bra and women wear bras. And these are women, and they're famous, intelligent women.
Permission from those people or their estates to use their names?
I'm not sure.
So. I assume they had to.
People got so angry. As a marketing professor, Ken Wong at the Smith School of Business in Kingston, Ontario, said he was in disbelief when he first saw the campaign. This is marketing at its worst, he said. Wong said the campaign was likely the result of a hasty decision to try to associate the brand with the growing popularity of female independence and empowerment.
That's a lot of hearsay.
Yeah, it's a lot of a dude talking about female empowerment.
And hearsay. Saying they think it was hastily put together. What else? They put a lot of thought into it. If they got permission from the people or their estates to use it and then compensated them for it, I think it's a great idea. It's because it's a bra. That's a no-go zone for
celebrating incredible women. Like, yeah.
Why is he also saying trend?
Yeah, what's
heck's up with that? Yeah. I don't know. I just think it bothers me because if it wasn't a bra, okay, let's say a Canadian, Air Canada decided to name its planes after famous women. And we're not talking famous women like celebrity women. We're not talking about naming them after Kardashians. We're talking about naming them after incredibly accomplished women. I don't think people would be in an uproar about that. I think it's because it's a bra.
Yeah.
Which sort of bothers me, like as if why I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me and I can't decide why it doesn't. Both the outrage doesn't sit right with me. Something about it just seems like wrong, but I'm not sure. Maybe our listeners will have more clear opinions about it, but I would have bought a bra named after a Supreme Court justice. I see no problem with that.
So which bra was the best seller for you?
The Tess one.
How did the Scott sell?
There was no Scott bra. I'm sorry. But there was a Tess bra. And I named one after like my first midwife I ever had. I named one after my cousin. Like I just thought the names was a nice idea and other people weren't doing it. And I just thought it was nice. But they weren't famous women. I would not be insulted if someone created a bra and called it the Allison bra and it was named after me. That would not be insulting to me.
Right. I'm coming out with a new line of boxer shorts called the Jobsicle.
So people have not listened to our past
episode. Shout out to the previous episode. So you got to have to go back. I'm doing a little circle around, a little circle back of the joke. All right.
Do we have like a word or a question or anything? Or is this episode just like without any of our standards?
It's far, far too long at this point already. So we're going to let it go.
All right. So we'll just let it go.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening for so long, guys. And if you have an opinion on the bra thing, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Tweet us. Send me a tweet. At unallison, at unmarketing. On marketing page on Facebook, or just come to our house. Please don't.
Bye. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.